We've been studying the 70th week of Daniel, and that's where you've got that my great chart there in front of you. Some of you have it. But everything that we've studied so far was to get to what we're going to study today. You remember the 70th week of Daniel, at the end of that 70th week, everything was finished. And that's what he said, it's finished. But what he did during that first 3.5 years, the first half of the 70th week, remember the weeks of years, so for that first 3.5 years, what he did is as he had from his childhood, he did use his mind. And this is where we have to begin to understand where the mind ended. He used his mind to push and understand, and he did understand, obviously, that every scripture in the Old Testament was about him. And so in that context of using his mind, he was also seeing the vanity or the emptiness of all things. He saw that after his baptism, the baptism was his burial as Son of Man. Now, this is why this mystery of what his temptations are versus ours is so critical. He had the same testings that we do up until his baptism. Then from that point on, he never again used his mind. There were 3 instances where he gave breath to it for a minute, and then he said no. From that point forward, it was by faith alone. The mind of Christ was total emptying to the point of a vacuum. Now, I've said this so many times, it's become a cliche. But I know by watching you that you're still not doing it. It's still by your mind that you think you're doing something. So let's look at this. Let's go to that Luke 22. Verse 28. He's talking to his disciples. He defines here a disciple. You are they that continue with me in my temptation. Now his temptation before he had disciples was the same as yours and mine. And while he had disciples, before he had disciples, I mean, until he was baptized. At his baptism, his temptation became his alone, and it has absolutely no understanding nor any home in human nature. There's no possibility you can understand what his temptation is. The only thing we can say is we are fed in Jerusalem, but we bear his reproach outside the camp. Jerusalem is wherever we meet for study in church or whatever you call it. But we bear his reproach outside the camp. Now, most of you have never had and understood the reproach of Christ. My life has been threatened many times. I've been beat on. I've been spit on. I've been delivered of a demon. It goes on and on and on, but it was always outside the camp. It had nothing to do with learning or seeing or understanding or Bible study. It was bearing his reproach outside the camp. It has nothing to do with what your mind is doing. His baptism assumed, and your baptism assumed, that you saw the death of your mind and your total death. Now that's what the 70th week of Daniel shows. The first 3.5 years, we still use his mind. But on the beginning of the half year, he was baptized. That was the death of his mind, the Son of Man.
You're talking about Daniel.
No, Christ.
Christ.
Okay.
Well, that's, look at that.
No, I see it. But what you're talking about, the 70th, that's referring back to Daniel?
Yeah, the 70th week of Daniel. Go there. Go. We'll look at it again. We got to see this. Go to chapter 9, verse 24, I think. Verse 24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. And this is what this chart is about. This is the 70th week of Daniel. To finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and the prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. That's everything done from God's standpoint. Now, Jesus Christ, from the start of his, when he first, his first visit to the temple, his bar mitzvah, if you will, he had a slow but sure dawning awareness of who he was. My God, these are testifying of me. Now, it wasn't until he began his temptation after his baptism that his family began to think he was nuts. That is, and the reproach came upon him. If he would have just been the normal kind of guy, he would have been as esteemed as high as or more than John the Baptist was. But he saw that there was no man, there was no human being, including you and I, that could possibly could rid themselves of the fruit of the fall. Because all that happens, no matter what you do, if you're using your mind, you can only come to one conclusion. I'm going to do something. I'm going to fix something. I'm going to be somebody. I'm going to constantly and... You suffer the same things he suffered after his baptism.
Bearing the reproach of Christ outside the camp. I don't fully understand.
That's because you're, whenever you are, wherever you are, you're talking about the cross. You're showing forth the emptiness of the human condition.
Oh, I see.
And because of that, you will bear his reproach. You will be hated of all men. But you will never be hated of anybody as long as you use and believe and act like you're just a regular Gentile. In fact, you'll be rewarded because the modern Christianity is so far from the truth, it can't even be seen. Modern Christianity teaches to enhance the fall. Teach you how to become a better person. You travel over sea and land to make one convert, and when he is made, you make him twice the child of hell that you are. You're first a child of hell because of your birth, but then you become twice the child of hell because you go become religious. The beast in Revelation, the one that all the world is wondering after, then he grows some little horns. He's now a religious beast, but he's still talking with the mouth of the dragon. Because it's self-seeking, self-realization. How can I get this? And not only that, he believes that his activities are what God wants him to do. So he never understands what it means to enter the rest. So Christ, for the first 3.5 years, he used his mind. Because there was still a chance for the human race. But once we killed him, it's the last chance. And that's what Matthew... Now, we've studied it many times, but now I want you to go to Matthew 21. Hear this parable, Matthew 21, verse 33. Now, let me stop a minute. If you've still got something to do, you got to do it. If you got things you want to do, you got to do it. Because if you just try to circumcise yourself, you cut it off. Then you're just another. You've got to run the rabbit as far as it'll go. And you're the rabbit. But admit that you're the rabbit. Until you see the end of all things, you cannot repent. You can repent after the world. Oh, I'm sorry I did that. Oh, I did that again. Oh, I'm sorry again. But the godly repentance is repentance not to be repented of.
I feel like that I'm repenting more now today than I've ever repented. Does that make sense?
Yeah, well, but it's because you're still finding out the end.
I'm not joking now when I'm saying
of course, I understand.
I don't want to be made fun because I'm really being open and up. I'm feeling like I'm repenting more now than ever.
That's great.
Constantly, you know.
Because what repentance is...
It's not that there's something crazy going on in my life. You know, like back when you guys knew me, I was struggling with a demonic spirit of addiction. And, you know, that's no, you know, that's not what I struggle with today. You know what I mean? It's just this constant, just feeling like I got to repent all the time. And that's kind of very scary.
Well, the scary part is to understand that repentance is not a thing you do; it's a way of life. And that's what's before you. It's like repentance is literally your death.
At the same time, isn't it a joyful thing?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It is. It's weird, you know. It's like what you guys are saying. Always saying, you know, it is joyful, but it's kind of like it's confusing. It's sometimes
you have to mourn for yourself.
What does that make sense? What does that mean?
Just as you mourn for a loved one that dies, you have to see your death, and then you will mourn for yourself.
Yeah. Wow. That makes sense.
But you have to, it says take no thought, but if you think you have to take thought, don't justify it. Say, Father, I don't know what else to do. Always put yourself in that lowest seat. But if you justify it, then you've just become another friggin' Pharisee. You are they that justify yourselves among men. But God knoweth your hearts. For that which is esteemed among men, highly esteemed, is abomination. It's not an abomination, it's the abomination among men. Because the abomination of desolation spoken of in Daniel is the evil one on the throne in his temple. You are his temple. You are the evil one. And you're still on the throne. So that is it's the abomination. You are the instead of Christ. It can't be fixed. But you have to run the rabbit to know. You have to come to the end of all things before you can do that. Before you, because otherwise you're going to wander after the beast, and you're wandering after the beast by giving importance to your mind. And when you finally see that your mind has never once been your friend, it appeared to be a friend for a minute, but then it always comes down, and it's all he does is accuse.
Well, we find out that our mind is not the know-all and be-all and solve-all that we think. Maybe you have multiple issues.
All right, watch this.
So it creates this sense of your repentance is greater than ever because of all these times where you've morally, rationally, calmly looked at things, and still these problems don't go away.
Yeah.
It's almost like I'm just gotta let go and kill this mind and let God handle this stuff. And that's I go through that a lot too.
All right, listen. This is a parable. Are you ready at Matthew 21? Hear another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about and digged a winepress in it and built a tower and let it out to husbandmen and went into a far country. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen that they might receive the fruit of it. And the husbandmen took the servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another. And again he sent other servants more or greater than the first, and they did unto them likewise. But last of all he sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir, let us kill him and let us seize on his inheritance. And they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. When the Lord therefore of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those just husbandmen? And they said unto him, we will miserably destroy those wicked men. He will miserably destroy those wicked men. And will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruit in their seasons. In other words, they were being self-righteous. They thought this was history, or this was a parable. It wasn't talking about them. But until you see you are this one, watch. Jesus said unto them, did you never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a people, and that's all nation means, bringing forth the fruit thereof. And whosoever shall fall on the stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to pieces or to powder. And when the chief priests and the Pharisees had heard this parable, they perceived that he spake of them. But when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitude because they took him for a prophet. Now, there are no friends of the gospel in the entire world,
yeah,
including you.
Yeah.
So the gospel can only be heard and understood. Finally, you come to them because of your poverty. Nothing is working for you, so you come to him. But then, most people still try to use their mind. There's no way you can tell you can't tell the difference between them and any other person or any other Gentile, because they're never saying anything.
Why is that funny?
Yeah, so true.
But until you tell whether you're talking to a homeless man or the richest man in the world, all is vain, all is empty. Everything you're doing is but a puff of smoke. Has no meaning. And any sustenance you're getting from it, you're just the snake eating the dust for sustenance. But boy, we do everything to keep ourselves alive. I spent 12 years trying to keep myself alive after I became a believer, because I loved the doctrine. I loved this when it first happened. I saw the mystery of God. It was great peace and joy and wonder. And I said, wait a minute. This isn't such good news after all. This is really bad news. It's the gospel of God, but it isn't good news to man. It's the worst news you could ever hear.
So you studied for 12 years, right? Trying to find a loophole?
Trying to find a loophole. And there are none.
Did you find one?
No.
There's not just one little one in there.
Keep ourselves alive.
Yeah, really.
Well, tomorrow we're going to study this, what it means to you are they that continue with him in his test, not yours. He did the same thing. He had a test up until his baptism.
That's why the fellowship is so important, the body, right? With this body here, that's why you're able to live and not go back. Without it's impossible, isn't it?
Very difficult.
Yeah.
Tell us.
Would it be impossible?
I just want to see this. I'm still pissed off at God. I still want to go live in a cave somewhere. But then I know the problem is I only have as much revelation and truth as the weakest member of the body. Because it's about us, not about me.
Amen. You know what you ran through this morning? It's like when you said you've got to use your mind to get to the end of it. If you don't, then you're just going by what other people have told you. Maybe that works, maybe it doesn't.
Well, it doesn't. It won't, because your mind will continue to go.
Of empathy.
No, your mind will always try to go.
Go where?
Anywhere. You try to say something that you'll think is important. First of all, it's all some harebrained idea, and then a creation of another idol, and then it's Babylon.
My point was a little different. The point was, you use your mind to get to the end. Just like science has done, where they push the barriers to the max, and what do they find? The chaos and no sense at all. And so in the context of this point, that you pushed it yourself to the end, and what did you find? No answers that your mind could be settled with, but you find God at that point. And you quit giving it human effort.
No, I found God and then tried to prove he was wrong.
I don't care how it happened. I'm just talking about that time.
Yeah, but you got to stop. But the point of it is, you've got to stop giving your mind any importance.
But you did it for the first 3 or 4 years, which was very important.
But he did it.
You did it. You, when you became a believer, you spent all that time studying.
No, I'm trying to use my mind. That was to do anything except try to prove this was wrong. But I didn't pay any attention to what it said I should be doing.
I was giving you something to work with, and you just don't want to hear it.
Well,
I hear what you're saying, though, Gary. I get it.
I'm sorry. I didn't understand it.
Two brothers fighting. That's what I look at. Two brothers never agree, do they, Pete?
Well, we'll get. But continuing on his temptation again. We'll do that tomorrow. All right, take it, big guy.